They reached the end of the final passage. The last stretch to the exit sector was longer, straighter than any other they had encountered. It had a slightly steeper incline to the mezzanine level they had just left. It also had a series of hurdles thrown up by displaced floor slabs that had risen in the disturbance of the explosions beneath. This would require some nimble footing to traverse, particularly for Doc. The old man had shown immense determination to get this far, and to keep up with Ryan at the vanguard, let alone the rest of the party. Ryan slowed his pace to help Doc over the obstacles. JB and Jack caught up with him, the former showing no desire to guard the rear of the party anymore. The time for that had passed.
Come on, old man!
The three men bodily lifted Doc over the slabs, while Affinity helped Mildred with Christy. Try as she might, her limbs still failed to respond. Even with Jack and JB's assistance, Ryan felt as though they had slowed to a crawl, and he felt the precious seconds tick away faster than ever. As they took the last slab and placed Doc down for the final few yards to the exit door, Ryan quickly outlined his plan, such as it was, to the other two.
Triple stoop, Ryan. Let me. Faster, smaller, got more chance.
No, I give most of the orders in this outfit, so I have to take the big chances. It goes with the territory.
It may not be necessary for any of us to take such a chance.
Doc, they've got to be waiting out there. Why else would
they... They may have intended that, but I doubt very much whether they are thinking of their plans right now. Have you perchance noticed that there are recurring rumbles of explosive noise, and yet they seem to be distant? If they are so numerous, why have they not yet reduced us to rubble? And if they are beneath us alone, then why do they sound so distant?
It couldn't be. That mad bastard didn't just have his temple booby-trapped.
No, indeed.
Doc twisted at the stones, hoping that the door would respond.
Such was the man's megalomania that he extended the explosives to undermining the entirety of Atlantis. Après moi, le déluge, indeed.
What?
After me, the flood, my dear John Barrymore. One of those interminable French monarchs said it just before the revolution. I can never remember which one of the Louis it was. Not that it matters now. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. But you see, the notion of megalomania is something with which I'm all too familiar. Suffice to say that when I was in the company of those white coats so long ago, in so many ways, I learned more about such things, and not just from their high-handed behavior. Perhaps Dr. Wyeth may care to back me up on this, but I recall hearing of a man named Hitler who was the cause of the greatest war before Skydark. Such was this man's overweening ego that when his country fell in war, he destroyed all, land, people, before the enemy's path, rather than let them take it before falling on his own sword. It seems to me that this Odyssey was such a man, small in intellect and heart, but large in ego. If such is the case, then, curse these bastard stones! It would not be beyond him to wish to destroy the Ville if he should also be destroyed. If he was not the one to fulfill the destiny of Atlantis, then no one should have the opportunity. Ah, at last. Perhaps we shall find that the danger we face is not from an ambush.
Holy shit.
There was no ambush. There couldn't be, for Atlantis was in chaos. The streets were alive with people. They ran without direction, some screaming in panic and terror, others mute with shock. They ran into one another, either ignoring the collision or starting a fight as a result. Men and women who would normally be the very models of polite civilization were now howling as they rained blows on one another. Domestic animals ran wild among them. There were crawlers visible, but they were taking little notice of the entrance to the temple. They and the temple guard were attempting to quell the population as it escalated from panic to full-scale riot. Their heavy-handed attempts only led to groups of outraged and terrified citizenry turning on them, swamping individuals beneath packs of howling men and women. There were indications of the other booby traps going off beneath the Ville. Some of the older roadways were showing damage, where the blasts had forced old asphalt and packed dirt to split asunder. Cracks from these fissures spread across the ground and under buildings. It was the buildings that were showing the most signs of damage. The squat houses and public buildings had been closer to the impact, and so it started to fall as their foundations were undermined. Porticos and columns had tumbled. Plaster and stone began to crumble under the stresses. Doors had popped out of their lintels, and in some buildings these shifts had caused roofs and ceilings to collapse. Dust filled the air, and it was already possible to see bodies trapped in wreckage. The vessel that was to be the vehicle of the Atlantean salvation rumbled and shook not far from them. The tremors from the land underlying the building had set up a series of vibrations that had the towering edifice rocking. It was a testament to the skills of the masons who had worked on the vessel that it was still relatively intact. But at the first sign of shockwaves, the scaffolding had collapsed, throwing those who were standing upon it onto the ground beneath. One of the first to be tossed like a rag doll to his death was Xerxes, the sect chief. As Ryan looked up at the vessel, he could tell that it would soon come tumbling down, and they were directly in the path of any debris that may fall. Even as he watched, those stones flung loose rained on the streets below, some falling harmlessly with a crash on the houses and sidewalks, some hitting Atlanteans who were fleeing in blind panic.
Head for the maze! Shortest possible route!
I can do that! I can take us the shortest route and find a way past any blockages!
I looked at Affinity. He was obviously terrified, but Ryan could see determination in his eyes.
Good man. I'll take point with you. Keep us covered. Jack, JB, take defensive positions. And Mildred, you take good care of Christy and Doc.
No problem. Falling buildings, collapsing streets, bad fuckers out for blood. Just another day, Ryan.
The young man was as good as his word, soon deviating from the path that they had taken when entering the build, taking them away from the main streets and into side alleys that were narrow, but less populated with the scared citizens. Many of the Atlanteans had gravitated toward the vessel as it shook, some trying to force their way inside. They had to enter the vessel as they were about to be collected and taken on the journey. They were the chosen ones. The vessel seemed to stop shaking, frozen for one brief moment before starting to fall. Blocks of stone seemed to turn to dust, and with a slow, almost infinite majesty, the vessel fell in on itself. A huge cloud of stone dust spewed out and up across the build as the giant structure hit ground.
Holy fuck! Cover up!
The ground beneath them shook with the massive shockwave that followed the collapse of the vessel, a dust cloud covering them with its choking thickness. The companions and Affinity hit the ground, riding the shock, covering their mouths, noses, and eyes as best as they could to stop the dust clogging, stinging, and stopping their breath. After what seemed an eternity, the dust cloud finally lifted, and they clambered to their feet.
Shit! What the fuck is going on here?
Ryan turned to look at the empty space where the vessel had once stood. There was no telling how many Atlanteans had perished, either in the collapsing building or under the spewing wreckage, but it seemed as though the Ville was now deserted. For as long as there would be a Ville, there were still rumblings underneath the ground. The explosions had ceased, but other sounds spoke of incredible movements beneath their feet.
Come on, let's move! Move it!
All over. All over. No matter. We must get out quickly.
They all set off toward the end of the narrow road on which they stood. Doc was now able to walk without the shakes affecting him too much. Christy still slow and stumbling, but making good progress with Mildred's support. Affinity suddenly jumped back, colliding with Ryan.
What the?
The road in front of them began to dissolve in front of his eyes, the old asphalt seeming to melt into a hole that appeared in the center, spreading out in all directions, sucking in the road until it suddenly ceased, leaving a gaping maw with jagged edges, where they would have been standing if Affinity hadn't reacted so quickly.
Now I understand. The old Ville on which Atlantis was originally built was riddled with tunnels and sewers from the days long before Skydock. Odyssey had mined them all, so that when his temple went, all of Atlantis would follow. The whole of the land around us will slowly fall into such holes.
Then stop talking. Show way out.
Affinity nodded, changing direction without a word, and taking them on another path that would lead around the newly formed pit. They had to backtrack, and as they emerged briefly onto a main road, Ryan caught sight of some of the remaining inhabitants of the Ville, civilians, crawlers, and temple guards, moving toward the wreck of the vessel. Whether they thought they had missed the moment of truth, or whether they were in shock that the dream had ended, he couldn't tell. Only that they seemed in a kind of shocked trance, falling to their knees. Affinity led them through another tangle of streets, avoiding opening fissures and throughways blocked by falling masonry, forced by circumstance to take a circuitous route back toward the maze. It was on rounding another corner that seemed to take them backward that they walked into trouble. Three crawlers faced them. Flanking the dark-painted warriors were two temple guards with hand blasters.
Although the crawlers had only blades, they stood their ground, not advancing immediately for hand-to-hand combat. The companions dove for cover. Ryan, Affinity, and Doc ended up on one side of the road, sheltering in the shattered open front of a store. Mildred, Jack, JB, and Christy were on the far side, covered by the end wall of a house that had otherwise collapsed. Christy had been slow to react, and in pulling her clear, Mildred had taken one of the rounds high up in the arm. The slug had passed clean through, but the sudden agony was like a red-hot poker pushed through her bicep.
Sons of bitches!
With her usable arm, she clawed at her coat, reaching for the dressing she kept swirled away within. The old vacuum-packed dressings were medicated, and if she could just staunch the wound for now and dress it, then she could attend to it properly when there was more time. She pulled the pack open with her teeth. Christy watched her, and seeing Mildred in trouble seemed to stir something within her. She moved across to Mildred, and without a word, helped her to dress the wound. JB observed this. Setting the mini-Uzi to rapid fire, JB poked the nose of the SMG around the corner of the wall. Easing his finger on the trigger, he risked a look.
Damn, where have all the red-blasted fuckers gone?
Back entry, now!
He moved to the rear of the old store, indicating that the two men flanked the rear entry. If the road outside was empty, then the enemy was planning to attack from the rear. While Doc and Affinity flanked the door, Ryan scaled the staircase on the left-hand side of the store. It was open to the rest of the room, which was good. The last thing he wanted was to try to tackle it blind, coming face to face with the enemy. All the while, they could feel the ground shifting beneath them as the old tunnels and sewers began to collapse under the surface. No time to think about that. Only time to focus on what was going on above ground, not beneath. Ryan took the stairs three at a time, the stire off his shoulder. If he was lucky, he would reach the upper floor before the crawlers or temple sec. If not, well, he didn't want to think about that option. The upper floor was deserted, with no place to hide. Two windows to the rear, about 15 feet apart. Which one should he take? Better to stay back, keep both covered. He knew that the crawlers were silent runners, and over the noise coming from outside, there was no way that he would be able to hear them. Wait for the first sight. He would only have problems if they appeared in both spaces at the same time. Which they did.
Fuck!
Weighing the odds and less time than it would take to verbalize them, Ryan opted for the sec man first. A shell from the stire took off the top of the man's skull, sending him pitching back to the street below. He rapidly adjusted his aim and took another shot at the crawler. A hurled blade plucked at Ryan's arm. It sliced through the material and took off the top layer of skin, but that was all. Enough, though, for his shot to fly wide and the stire to drop from his grasp. Enough for the crawler to be through the window and headed for him.
Fuck!
Ryan fumbled for the punga, momentarily off balance. The Nightcrawler looked down in surprise to see a ragged red hole torn in his body paint as a full-shot load from Doc's Lamar ripped through him, pulping his internal organs and splintering his ribcage. He hardly had the time to register his shock before the life drained from him. Ryan turned to see Doc standing on the top stair, a determined look on his face.
Doc, I told you to stay down there.
I simply could not. You may not understand why yet, but I have much to atone for. This is a start.
Ryan was puzzled by the old man's words, but there was no time for explanation. Without answering, he scrambled to his feet, grabbed the stire, and ushered Doc down into the main body of the store. Affinity was still guarding the rear entry. He greeted them with a questioning glance.
Two down. Anything out there?
Not that I know.
Right. Only one way to find out.
Ryan flexed his wounded arm and unholstered the Sig Sauer. Blood ran down his sleeve, his arm was stinging from the flesh wound, and his patience was exhausted. They had to get out of this vill before it fell into the ground, and there was no way that he was going to waste any more time than was necessary. Using the pain and anger to fuel his actions, Ryan strode up to the rear door and raised his left leg. The door flew open. There was no immediate response, so Ryan took a roll into the alleyway, coming up against the far wall, sweeping the blaster from side to side. The only thing human in the throughway was the corpse of the sec man he had killed.